So tonight is, where are we up to? August the 27th, correct? Okay. We continue with the Yechezkel. We are up to Perek Chaf Alef 21. But as I just mentioned, this will be a little bit of a different type of class. We're not going to do too many psukim in the Yechezkel. We're actually only going to do the first two psukim of Perek Chaf Alef. And from there, we will digress into what I think is a very interesting topic. The pasuk says, "Vayhi divar Hashem Elai le'emor." The word of Hashem was to me, saying, "Ben Adam, son of man, sim panecha derech teimana. Put your face the way of teimana." What is teimana? To the south. Good. Good. The hateif el darom, and speak of darom. What is darom? The south, good. V'hinaveh al yar hasadeh negev, and prophesy about the forest of the field, negev. What is negev? The south. So this pasuk has three references to the south, and they are all with a different Hebrew word. One is teimana, or teiman. Teimana with the extra hey means to the south. But Teman means the south. We have Darom, which means the south. And we have Negev, which means the south. Yechezkel is being told to say a prophecy about three different things. Each are referenced by the south. What the three are, we'll touch on briefly tonight. And obviously we'll get into more detail about them when we actually learn this perek in the next time we have Yechezkel Shir, which will be, as I said, in about a month and a half. But tonight, we're going to focus on the different words for how you refer to the south. Now, before we do that, or in order to do that, let's talk about directions. We've talked about directions before in Sefer Yechezkel. But let's talk about the different words that there are for the different directions. Does anybody remember? Well, let's just start with a pre-fall. What are some directions? Give me east, west, north, south. South, we have three of them here. But give me... Okay, Mizrach is east. That probably is the most famous, because we know we dive in towards Mizrach, even though if you're not living east, if you're not living west of Yerushalayim, you wouldn't dive in Mizrach. For instance, if you are living in India, you wouldn't daven east, you daven west, towards Yerushalayim. If you live in parts of, I guess, Turkey, you would daven south, because you're north of Yerushalayim. So, it depends on where you are. It happens to be that most of us live in this, well, in America we're living towards the west of Eretz Yisrael, so we daven towards the east. So everybody says, which way is Mizrach? So we know Mizrach is the east. What other words do we know of that refer to different directions? Okay, so tsafona or tsafon means? Oh, you got it right. Good. What's tsafon?
It's north.
North. Right, tsafon is north. Good. What else? Kedma. Good. Kedem or kedma. What direction is that? No. Kedma is also east. So we have two different words for east now. We have Mizrach and Kedem. And the Kedma, every time you put a hey at the end of one of these words, it just means towards that direction. For instance, you can say Mizracha, which means to the east. So it's the same thing. For our purposes, we're not interested whether we use the hey or don't use the hey. So Kedma, Kedem, same thing. Mizracha, Mizrach, same thing. So we have Mizrach, we have Kedem, both that mean the east. We have Tsafon that means the north. We have three words for south over here. They are Negev, Teman, and Darom. Any other words? Directional words? Well, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, you're straight. Any other direction? Well, you haven't said anything about west. Anybody remember anything for west? If you are in Israel, what is to the west? It's not left. It's a good guess, but it's not left. Okay, the sea. How do you say sea in Hebrew? Yam. Yama means to the west, or yam is west. That's one word for west. Another word for west is marav. Mem ayin resh vez. Marav. So that's another word for west. We also talked about in the beginning of the Chazkel that the directions of the world also are aligned with the way a person is facing. We said that the way the Beis HaMikdash faces, the opening of the Beis HaMikdash is from which direction? If you're going to the Beis HaMikdash through the main entrance, that would be the eastern entrance. You enter from the east, facing west. Facing the west. Yeah, we've talked about it. We've talked about it actually on two different occasions. Yeah. So you enter from the east, going towards the west. Which wall do we have remaining? What's the Kosel? The Kosel Ma'aravi, like the western wall. That's the one we have left. Okay. The western wall. Kosel Ma'aravi. So, we've talked about this before, but I just want to illustrate it again, because it's something that's very confusing to people, I think. And that is that, first of all, as we've already mentioned several times, the Kosel that we have is not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it's the wall of the Chatzer. It's the wall of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the wall of the Har HaBayis. It's not the wall of the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. It's the wall of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we have standing today in the Old City. But what is confusing to people is that when we daven in front of the wall, we're actually davening in the opposite direction that they would daven when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Because the main entrance was not, if the Kosel is in front of me, the main entrance was not over here. The main entrance was all the way on the other side of the courtyard, here. And they would enter through the courtyard from the east, going towards the west. We are actually behind the Beis HaMikdash when we face the Kosel. Now, it's not wrong, because you always face the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we're standing behind the western wall, facing east, which is the correct way to face, if that's where you are. But in reality, it's not where the way the Jewish people did it when the temple was standing. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they would come in from one of the other gates, and the main gate was on the east, where you would face west. So we're behind where the Beis HaMikdash was. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't have access.
Correct. We don't have. It's not easy for us to have access to it. Well, we captured the whole area in 67.
But we gave them
part. I don't think it was ever given. I'm not sure if it was given, but there's the mosque there, and there's the, you know, so.
The mosque is behind it.
Yeah.
Behind the wall.
Yeah. It's in the holiest place, and that's where the mosque is. It's in the holiest, one of the holiest of places. The even if we would have it, we do have it technically speaking, but even if it would be easy for us to go there, it would not be a simple matter to go there, because since it does retain its kedusha, it retains its holiness, therefore one has to be completely pure to go there. So one would have to go to the mikvah the same way that a woman goes to the mikvah. That's the way even a man would have to go to the mikvah in order to go behind the wall. And there are those who say that even if you go to the mikvah, you can't go behind the wall. So it's not so simple. So even if we would have easy access to it, it wouldn't be a simple matter to go there, because the kedusha that it has, since we all are tamei, and we are all tamei in ways that we can't necessarily get rid of it. For instance, we are all, most of us anyway, are tamei meis. We've come in contact with a dead body, or we've attended a funeral, or we've been to a graveyard. And that type of tumah, that impurity, can't be removed without the para aduma, the red heifer. So therefore, without that, we can't go over there, according to most authorities. So correct, not without the para aduma. It cleanses us from other types of impurities, but not that one. So even if we would have easy access to behind the wall, it wouldn't be so simple to go there. So that's a whole discussion. It's a whole discussion. There are certain areas and certain tunnels that everybody says is okay, and then there are ones that become a discussion, and then, you know, it depends who you ask, and, you know, it's like everything else in halacha, you'll have different opinions. But the...
So it's preferable that we daven in the wrong side and not use the right side.
Well,
if
we have easy access, we could really do the same thing on the other side. We could stand outside of the where the wall used to be on the other side. The wall is no longer there. But the wall that used the eastern wall on the other side, we could stand outside of the eastern wall as well. And we can go around the perimeter, just like we can on the west side. But but on the east side, that's where the Arabs are in force, and that's not a very safe place for us to go, so we don't do it. But that would be, theoretically, we could do that. But to actually enter inside the courtyard, that's already a matter of dispute. And to actually enter where the temple stood, the structure itself, that everybody says one should not do. So it becomes obviously not in cases of life or death. So in times of war, where the soldiers had to go to, that of course is permissible. But where it's not a life or death situation, then we would not go there. That's correct. So that is the confusing matter that when we're standing facing the coast, so we're actually facing the opposite direction that the Jews faced when they were there with the temple, with the Beis HaMikdash. Now we said that just as the Beis HaMikdash is facing east, that's the way it's facing. So we talk about the directions using a human being facing east. That means that east is front, west is back, south is right, and north is left. So this, we've mentioned all of this before. But when you talk about the words that are used, let's think about this. What's the Hebrew word for front? Lifnei means to stand before somebody, correct. But the front of something is the kedem. The kedem of it is the front of it. So when we said before that one of the words for east is kedem or kedma, that's because it's the front. Now, the north could be referred to also as smol, because it's to the left, and you don't find that reference too much, that the north is called the left. And the west could be called achor, the back. But here's an interesting one. The right is south. How do you say right in Hebrew? Yamin. Right? Teman is yamin, with a tough in front of it. It's the same word. Teman is yamin. In fact, what's a southern country south of Eretz Israel? Yemen. Or Yemin, because it's south of Eretz Israel. That's where that word comes from. In Yechezkel, we will have Teman referred to, and it's referred to in Tanakh in several places, and it is referring to that area down there, at the bottom of the Red Sea area over there, and that is Teman because of the word south, Yemin. Yes?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's called south because it is south of Israel. Correct. That is right. That is right. I don't know if they realize it or don't realize it. Right. So what I'm trying to bring out to you is that the words for the directions are not, well, we know the words are never haphazard. But we can understand why the words that are chosen for the directions in fact mean the direction that they say they mean. So, for example, The easiest one is Mizrach. Why is east called Mizrach? What does Mizrach mean? Or Zerach, or Zarach. Zerach means to shine. Because the sun rises in the east. The rising of the sun is called Zrichas HaShemesh. The rising of the sun. The shining of the sun. So the reason why east is referred to as Mizrach, not by us, but by the Chumash itself, is because that's where the sun rises. And Marav, which means the west, what does Marav mean? It means evening. It means to set, to come down. And so as the sun sets in the west, therefore the west is called Marav, Kosa Maravi. Safon, north, is a little bit more obscure. And I say that, pun intended. What does the word Safon mean? Think of something from the Pesach Seder. Safun. What is Safun at the Pesach Seder? Who knows what that is at the Pesach Seder? Right before benching. Good. Hidden is correct. That is the word. Hidden. And that is the order of the Seder where we do what? Well, we eat the afikomen that was hidden. Right. That's right. You eat the tzafun. You eat that which was hidden, which is the afikomen. So it's called tzafun. Tzafon means the north. It is the direction that is hidden. So the question is, what is it hidden from? What's hidden about it? It is a hidden direction. What's hidden about it? So we spoke about how the north is the direction, we spoke about this before, that represents physicality, that represents Olam Hazeh, this world, or physicality, and therefore it can be an area that is the hardest to have spirituality in, and therefore it is Safun, it is hidden more than any place else. What I want to focus on, though, are the southern names. The three names that we have in the second pasuk here in Yechezkel, and to understand how they're used. And the three words were Temana, or Teman, which also means to the right, the south, Darom, and Negev. Those are the three words. So the question is, how do these words come to mean south? So we know one, Temana we've already explained, because it's to the right, and therefore it means south. It should be noted that the most common word for south in Tanakh, in Scripture, is Teman. More than the other two, more than Negev, certainly more than Darom, which is the least used, Temana is the most common word for south. So if we were going to say, what is the word for south, we would say Temana, Teman. That's the word for south. The other two would only be used in certain contexts. Now, I do not pretend to... I can't say unequivocally, it's always used this way or it's always used that way. The words are used so many times, and I have not done enough of a study to tell you that this is the only way it's ever used. But I'm going to give you some structure and some direction. Oh, didn't mean to use that word. Some ideas, some parameters about how these words are used when they're chosen. When the word Teman is used, when the word Darom is used, when the word Negev is used. So, first of all, there are three places in the Chumash, at least three places in the Chumash, where all four directions are mentioned at once, in one pasuk. Anybody think of a place where it's actually pretty well known, the famous place where the Torah mentions all four directions at one time? That's a good guess. That's a good guess. But it doesn't say directions. Okay. When Hashem is telling Abraham first, then Yaakov later, One in Lech Lecha. One in Lech Lecha. Where Hashem says, you're going to get all the land. North, east, south, west, it's all going to be yours. Right? Let me read to you what Hashem says to Avraham first in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem says to Avraham, this is in Perek Yud Gimel, that's chapter 13, and it is Pasuk Yud Dalet, verse 14. It says, Hashem said to Avraham after Lot separated from him, lift up your eyes and see from the place where you are standing, from the place where you are, Tzafona, which way is that?
North,
good. Va'negba,
south,
from the word Negev. Va'kedma, and east. Va'yama, and west. So the word used for south is Negba, Negev. Similarly, in Parshas Vayetze, which is Perek Chafches, chapter 28, in Pasuk, also Pasuk Yudalad, verse 14, Hashem says to Yaakov, V'haya zaracha ka'af, it's page 144 if you want to find it in that Chumash, V'haya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, your seed will be like the dust of the land, ufaratzta, and you will become strong, yama, which way is that? Yama, west, Vakedma, and east, good. Vitzafona, north. Vanegva, and south. So the word Negva or Negev is used both with Abraham and with Yaakov to mean the south. Negva, to the south. Excellent. Okay, that's the next place we go. So, there we find a discrepancy. Because in Parshas Vayeshanan, which we had a couple of weeks ago, in Parshas Vayeshanan, in Perek Gimel, in chapter 3, Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27, well, in here, let's see, I have it in the other Chumash, so let's see, it would be, that's it, I'll get it for you. Hold on. That would be page 958. So Hashem says to Moshe, Alei Rosh HaPisgah, go up to the top of the precipice, the cliff, V'sa Einecha, and lift up your eyes, Yama, west, V'tzafona, V'seimana, and south, U'mizracha, and east. So, you have actually a couple of discrepancies. Instead of saying Negba for south, here Hashem uses Teimana. And instead of saying Kedma for east, he has Mizracha. So I'm not going to talk about the Kedma and Mizracha difference, although you could probably say the same idea I'm going to suggest to you for the south difference. Why with Avraham and with Yaakov, Hashem says Negba for south, and with Moshe he says Teimana. I believe the reason for this is because, as I mentioned to you, the most common word for south, the default word for south, is Teimana, Teiman. That's the normal word to use. To the south. Negev or Negba, I don't want to say 100% of the time because I cannot tell you for sure, but I think the overwhelming majority of the time, the word Negba or Negev for south is used when you're referring to the south of Eretz Yisrael. When someone is in Eretz Yisrael and you look towards the south, you use the word Negev or Negba. Moshe Rabbeinu was not standing in Eretz Yisrael. He was standing on the east side of the Jordan River. So perhaps that's why the word Teiman is used, even though Hashem was talking about looking into Eretz Yisrael. But still, since he wasn't standing in Eretz Yisrael, directly south of him was not Eretz Yisrael, Therefore, the typical word for south is used, which is Teimana. But Avraham and Yaakov were both standing in Eretz Yisrael when Hashem said, look to the south. Perhaps that's why the word Negba is used. Now, why does the word Negba or Negev, why does that mean south? So the Malbim suggests an interesting reason. The word Negev or Naguv means dry. That's what it literally means. Says the Malbim, the south is hot and therefore drier than the north. Now, he's not talking about how much rainfall there is, but it's hotter. So if you have something wet, it will dry fast in the south. Therefore, it is referred to as Negev because of the heat that is in the south. Why that would be the word used in Eretz Yisrael and not other places? What I would suggest there is that the directions are Eretz Yisrael oriented. For example, as we said, the west is referred to as Yama, towards the ocean. Now, if you're standing in Atlanta, Georgia, you wouldn't use the word Yama to mean west. There's no ocean directly to our west. Yes, if you go far enough, you'll hit an ocean, but that's true in any direction. Right? So that's not fair. So the defining feature of the west standing here is not the ocean. If anything, the defining feature to the east may be the ocean, but not to the west. So you wouldn't use the word Yama standing in Atlanta to mean west. You would use the word Mairav, because that means the sun setting, which is true everywhere on earth, that the sun sets in the west. So that would be the default word to be used when referring to the west. Similarly, with the east, you're going to use the word Mizrach anywhere on earth, because that's the sun rises in the east. If you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, then you can use the word Yama to mean west, because towards the west is the ocean, the Mediterranean. The Malbim suggestion that Negev means dry, perhaps that's only when you're standing in Eretz Yisrael. The south of Eretz Yisrael is dry. There's very little rainfall. But if you're standing, for instance, in northern Brazil, and you say south, it's not dry at all. It's very wet in mid-Brazil, which is where it's equatorial, and you have all kinds of rainfall over there. So I wonder if the word Negba is only used when in Israel, because the south of Israel is hot and they're dry, and therefore you would use the word Negev. While in other places you'd use the regular word, which is Teman, to the right, which is to the south. So there are some directional words which are what's the way to say it? Eretz Yisrael.
Centered.
Well, they're not just centered Eretz Yisrael, but they're assuming
specific.
You're specific. That's right, specific Eretz Yisrael. So that would be like Yama being west, and perhaps Negba being south is the same idea. While there are other words where it doesn't matter where you are. Yeah.
So when Moshe
Not necessarily, because Avraham was promised the land that we're going to get in the future when Mashiach comes. And that's larger than the land that we ever had. That's more than...
What does it include?
It includes Syria. It includes Jordan. It includes... The southern Israel also.
Saudi Arabia.
Well, I don't know how much of Saudi Arabia. A lot of Saudi Arabia is desert, so I don't know how much of it, So we may not know exactly the different lands that we're going to get, but the promise to Abraham was broader than what we actually got. Yaakov also was broader than what we actually got. Moshe, in all likelihood, Hashem was referring to the land that was going to be taken in the time of Yehoshua, when they crossed the Jordan River and conquered whatever land they were going to conquer. I can't say for sure, but that's the way I understand it.
And what are the borders
now? The borders of biblical Israel?
What was promised to you?
Well, it wasn't promised. It was what we actually got when we conquered the land. So I've mentioned this before, that it's not exactly what we have now, meaning that, of course, it's larger than what we have now. But there are parts of that we have now that are part of modern-day Israel, which were not biblically ours. Which is an interesting point that the world misses. The southern tip of Israel, current state of Israel, was never part of the state of Israel under the Jewish kings. We didn't have that part. There was no, down to the Red Sea. That stretch down to the Red Sea was given to us under the United Nations partition plan in order to give Israel a port on the Red Sea. In order to give them an Indian Ocean route. Since the Suez Canal would likely be closed to Israel.
What about Gaza?
Gaza was biblically the land of the Plishtim.
But we weren't supposed to come
from. Well, it is part of the land that's promised to us from Abraham. But we never had it historically. It wasn't ours. Historically, it belonged to the Plishtim. On the other hand, Jordan was ours, as was Syria, as was Lebanon. So, you know. Okay. So, there you have the word Teman, and there you have the word Negev. Now, what about the word Darom? How does the word Darom come to mean south? So here, we have a fascinating explanation of the Malbim, and then I'm going to read to you something from the Das HaKenim Bali HaTosos. The word Darom means south. The very first place the word Darom appears in the Torah is in the last parsha of the Torah, in Mezos HaBracha. You don't find the word Darom used throughout the entire Chumash until you get to Mezos HaBracha. It is used in the bracha of Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali, where it says about Naphtali, it says, Naphtali seva ratzon. Naphtali is satiated with, ratzon means desire. Umalei birkas Hashem, and he's filled with the blessings of Hashem. Yom vidarom yirasha. Yom, west. Vidarom and south, Yerusha is his what he inherits, or what he conquers, what he has. That's his portion. Now, Naphtali didn't actually live in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and so this pasuk has to be explained. What does it mean, the west and the south? Where exactly it's talking about? That's really for a discussion in Sefer Yehoshua, how to explain this pasuk. But the word Darom appears here for the first time. Interesting for us is that the word Darom rarely appears in Tanakh and Scripture. You find it here. But really, the most predominant place that you find the word Darom is in the book of Yechezkel. And this is the first place that we have here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. You have the word Darom. I mean, not Pasuk, Perek Chaf Aleph. You have the word Darom. And it appears several times more in Sefer Yechezkel. And the limited amount of times that it appears in Tanakh, in Yechezkel it appears the most. Now, what does the word Darom mean, or what is it derived from, that it comes to mean south? So, the Malbim says that Darom comes from the word Rome or Ramah, which means heights, high up. Romema, okay, good, okay. High up. Rum means a height. So says the Malbim that when Yechezkel is referring to Darom, he is referring specifically to the south of Eretz Yisrael, where the Beis HaMikdash is located. And he's referring to the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Beis HaMikdash, Yechezkel, was speaking north. He was in Bavel. He was to the north of Eretz Yisrael. And when he speaks about the south, he says Darom, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, which is high up. The Beis HaMikdash is on a mountain. And we know our sages tell us, although I cannot tell you exactly what this means, that Eretz Yisrael is Gavoa Mikol Ha'aratzos. Eretz Yisrael is higher than all lands. And the Beis HaMikdash is Gavoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is higher than every point in Eretz Yisrael. Now, we know if you're going to measure from sea level, Eretz Yisrael is not the highest point on the globe. And the Beis HaMikdash is not the highest point. So, you could of course explain the words of our sages allegorically and say that it means, or spiritually, it means that conceptually, Eretz Yisrael is spiritually the highest place on earth, and the Beis HaMikdash is the highest place of Eretz Yisrael. That makes sense, that works. But it seems from the way Chazal say it, that they mean it in not only a spiritual sense, also in a physical sense, which means they're not measuring the same way we measure the height of land. So how they're measuring, I have my own conjecture about it. I don't intend to share it because it's just a wild thought. It's not really certainly not something to go on a recording. Maybe after we shut this off, we'll come back to it. So he says that the reason why Darom means the south is because it means high up and it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, listen to what the Das HaKeni Mivalei HaTosfos, it's one of the commentaries in the Chumash, on the Chumash, says regarding Yom V'Darom Yerasha, about Naphtali getting the west and the south. The Pasuk says, as we mentioned, that Naphtali is sevaratzon, is satiated with desire, umalei birkas Hashem, is filled with the blessings of Hashem, Yom V'Darom Yerasha, he inherits or gets the west and the south. The Gemara in Brachos, in Maseches Brachos, says a drasha, expounds on this pasuk. Not the literal meaning, but says the following. We know that many times in rituals that we have, many times we have a cup of wine. What are the times that we use a cup of wine? Obviously, Kiddush. What else do we use a cup of wine for? Bris, Chuppah, Sheva Brachos, Havdalah. People use it to Pesach. Some people use it to bench. So you have a cup of wine. That cup of wine is called a Kos Shel Bracha. It's a cup of blessing. It represents Bracha. Now, you know that when you have a Kos Shel Bracha, how high are you supposed to fill it up when you are filling a Kos Shel Bracha? Okay, at least to the top. At least to the top. Overflowing, some people like to have it overflow, right? It's considered to be a good siman, a good sign, a good omen to have a full Kos Shel Bracha. Since this cup is representing blessing, you don't want it to be half full, right? You want it to be all the way to the top because it represents Bracha. So you fill it up to the top, and that's what you're supposed to do. Specifically at Havdalah, you're supposed to spill it over the top. Other times you can if you wish, but at Havdalah, you're supposed to, because the Gemara says that any house that wine spills in it like water on Matzai Shabbos, on Saturday night, will have Bracha, will have blessing. So you're supposed to treat the wine as if it were water. Oh, we'll just have it spill over the top. As if it's not worth it. As if it's not so expensive. As if we have so much money, we can just have it spill over the top. Right? That's the idea over there. So a kosher bracha certainly has to be filled to the top. The Gemara derives that from this pasuk, because it says about Naphtali, umalei birkas Hashem. He is filled with the bracha of Hashem. So you see that you have to fill something which represents the bracha of Hashem. That's what the Gemara says. Obviously not the literal meaning of the pasuk, but derived from here, that one should fill a koshel bracha to the top. Then it says, Yam vidarom yirasha. So now listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, quoting the Gemara here, it says, Kol hamamale koshel bracha, anybody who fills a cup of bracha, zoche v'nochel shtei olamos. He merits and he inherits two worlds. You get two worlds if you fill the koshel bracha. Shenemar, because the verse says, umalei birkat Hashem, filled with the bracha of Hashem, yom v'darom yirasha, west and south you inherit. So, since it says you fill the cup to the top, and then it says two different directions, west and south, you get two worlds if you fill the koshel bracha. So the Das Zaken Mibali HaTosis wants to understand this Gemara. What does it mean, first of all, two worlds? What two worlds? That's number one. Number two, how do the words Yom and Darom refer to those two worlds? What two worlds? So the Das Zaken Mibali HaTosis says as follows. Yom, which means west, is Marav. As we said, it's to the west. It says the Das Zaken Mibali HaTosis, that refers, not literally of course, but allegorically, refers to this world, Olam Hazeh. Because Olam Hazeh is compared to Laila, to the night. So Marav, the west, the sun sets, that is a reference to Olam Hazeh, which is compared to nighttime, meaning that Hashem's presence is veiled. You can't see it. It's like it's nighttime. Just like at night, you can't see very well. So too, this world is compared to the Laila, to night. And therefore, that is what Yom is. Then he says, Vidarom, the south, humokom shela'olam hachama sham. That's a place where it's always sunny. Bein b'yamos hachama, bein b'yamos hagshamim. Whether it's the summertime, whether it's the wintertime, there's more sun in the south. Everybody knows, you go to Florida, you go down south in order to catch the sun in the winter. Vizehu ha'olam haba. That refers to the next world, Shehudom elayom, which is similar to daytime, the light of day. And Ushneim Yerusha, and he'll get both of those worlds, Lami Shemamale Koshel Bracha, for someone who fills up the Koshel Bracha. So, says the Das Hakimi Bali HaTosfos, that west could be a reference to nighttime, even though that's a little bit of a stretch. Because really, north is more of a reference to nighttime than west, but that's what he says. But the south, this is what I wanted to bring out, is a reference to Olam Haba, because it's always sunny. It's always light. Even in the wintertime, you can catch the sun down south. And so, therefore, it is a reference to Olam Haba, and one who is careful to fill a koshel bracha has this special skula, has this special omen, that he'll be able to get both this world and the next world. That's what he says. So, what's that? Yeah, that's where we're going with this, of course. So, what is striking to me is that even though he doesn't point this out, but the term for south in this pasuk is darom. Of the three words of Taman, Negev, and Darom, this is the first time the word Darom is found in Scripture. And here, he is saying that it is a reference to Olam Haba. That fits in very nicely to what the Malbim said, that Darom means heights, a high up place, which of course would also refer to Olam Haba, high up, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so here, the word Darom is very appropriate with this discussion of the Das HaKinei Baalei HaTosas. So, does it refer to Atlanta? Does it refer to the South? The point that's being made is that the South has a greater it is more symbolic of Olam Haba and spirituality than other directions. We mentioned this anyway when we were talking about the different directions, how the South is the direction that represents spirituality. And here we find that as well using the word Darom. So we live down south, and people like to go south, and especially in the winter time. So unfortunately, in modern day America and other places, southern hot climate is associated not with spirituality, but it's associated with vacation. It's associated with things that are not necessarily pure. What did you say? Hedonistic, beaches, frolicking, etc. But of course, anything can be misused. We view the South as a direction that is meant to represent spirituality, and a place which has a lot of sun ought to be a place that is thought of as being closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not that the place is closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that it represents Olam Haba and spirituality. A place that is always sunny. Olam Haba. A place that's always, because spirituality is Olam Haba. A place that's always sunny, always bright, always light, as opposed to the darkness that represents Olam Hazeh. So the next time any of us head down to Florida, that should be what we think of. I was just in Florida last week. My brother got married in Florida last week. I was just down there. Thank you. So in the middle of the summer, you don't think about it so much because there it's just extremely hot and it's light everywhere. But in the wintertime, you go down there, then this is something to think about to connect the brightness of the southern climate with spirituality. Living in Atlanta, that's what you should feel. That we should have that connection. So it's an interesting thing of how the directions are used. So for Yechezkel, when he uses the three words for south, and uses Taman, Negev, and Darom, so the word Darom is referring to the Beis HaMikdash as the height, the higher up, the place that refers to spirituality, and the south, but the south where it's high up, like of the Beis HaMikdash itself. We will discuss, and Meretz Hashem, when we get to it, next time we have the Yechezkel class, we will discuss this, of course, in great detail of what the other two are referring to and in what context. If this is still a negative perek, we haven't yet gotten past the negative prakim of Yechezkel, although we will do that shortly. This one is still negative, and it's still referring to destruction, and when we get to it, we'll discuss it in depth. But right now, I leave you with this food for thought about the different directions. Ms. Conover had told me last time we did directions that I need to make a handout and give it out, and you're right, I needed to do that. And we're not done with directions. Yechezkel has more of it, and we'll have to put something together. They're upside down.
Yeah.
Right? Australia, South Africa, New Zealand. Right?
Yeah, but it's like the military just went to the mega, to this huge Israeli military just did a huge
movement. Oh, really? Oh, well. Okay.